Divorce cases are rarely easy, especially when children are involved. The executive director of the California-based Center for Judicial Excellence, Kathleen Russell, says the American court system frequently fails to adequately protect children who are caught in the ugliest of custody battles. Russell says her center works to improve judicial accountability and ensure children's rights are protected in the court system. Russell recently visited Missoula to participate in a workshop attended by social workers, local legal professionals, and family violence experts who discussed this very issue. Russell says too many family courts aren't being held accountable for the well-being of children.
More than 58,000 children a year in America are being court-ordered to live with or have unsupervised visits with parents that the children say are beating, raping, and molesting them. And that is twice the number of new childhood cancer cases every year. So it's a significant social problem that has pretty much been under the radar for the last 15 years. And it's only now starting to come out as the internet is enabling parents and children who've lived this horrific experience in the courts, where they're essentially bankrupted, their homes are foreclosing, they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases trying to protect their children from abusive parents.
How in the world does that happen, a child living with an abusive parent?
Well, there's some junk science in the courts, that some bogus theories that have held sway that essentially suggest that any time a parent says that the child is being abused, they're fabricating that evidence, they're making it up. And the courts, rather than investigating whether crimes are occurring, they start to blame the parent who's raising the concerns. And so those parents are punished by the family courts routinely, and they end up losing time with their children. And in many cases, they're forced to pay significant sums of money just to visit with their children. And their only crime for being placed on these supervised visits is that they stood up to the court and said, my child is being harmed. And in many cases, they bring medical evidence of bruises and sexual abuse to the court, and that evidence is ignored or not taken seriously.
And that was my next question. Is this provable? Are these accusations? Because divorces, when relationships crumble, they get ugly and accusations are made. They're not always true, but you're saying there is evidence of this.
Absolutely. There are reams of evidence, and every one of the parents and children that we talk to who've lived through these, I mean, sometimes they're mired in family court for 10 and 15 years, depending on the age of their children at the time of the divorce. They all have a room in their home or a closet devoted to boxes and boxes of transcripts and testimony, which prove exactly what I'm saying. And we see the same pattern in cases from Maine to Hawaii to Montana to Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, the dynamics of how these children are taken from their protective parents are nearly identical.
What sort of impact is this having on the kids? We're raising a generation of many damaged children.
That's right, and we're also creating a social cost for our government. I mean, we're looking at an entire generation of future prison inmates, of future drug abusers. There's plenty of literature that shows children who are abused will then go on to abuse themselves or commit crimes or take drugs to ease the pain of what they've lived through. And we're also creating a generation of children who see that the court system does not have their best interests at heart because they're falling through the cracks and nobody's there for them. But that's changing now because organizations like ours and many others around the country are starting to pop up and starting to work on legislation to fix the problem and talk to the media to really expose what's happening, because this is one of those problems that demands media attention.
And what is the answer here?
There are many approaches, from getting better credentials for these guardian ad litems, who are given immense power in terms of determining children's futures and which parent they will live with. Montana has virtually no standards or qualifications for who can serve as a GAL or guardian ad litem. So that needs to change. And yet, even in states where there are great laws on the books around those, there isn't accountability, and there's a real money-making opportunity. This is a career for people, and so a lot of times there isn't a financial incentive to settle these cases and come to resolution between a couple that's battling over abuse allegations, and yet that is not in the best interest of the children or the parents to drag these cases on for a decade or more.
What states are the most progressive and which are the most regressive in terms of these GALs, these watchdogs?
It's hard to say. I would say Montana is probably one of the most sparse in terms of its laws and guidelines and regulations for GALs. So there's certainly a lot of work that I know locals here in Missoula are working, those who work in the system as well as the parents who've been through it. They're working with Representative Betsy Hands on some possible legislation to be introduced in the next session. That's vitally important. That's a step in the right direction. But in California, there's actually the state auditor is auditing the family courts in two of the worst counties because of ongoing complaints of abuses in the system. And that audit is due, the report is due to the legislature in January of next year.
It sounds like this sort of thing could cost, in a time when governments don't have a whole lot of money to throw around, especially in the judicial system, which is already tapped in many ways in many places.
That's very true. Some of our best ideas for legislation are sort of sitting on a back burner or sitting in appropriations committees, hung up because the states don't have the resources. But there are other simple things like getting rid of parental alienation syndrome from family courts. That's a piece of legislation in California that's been put through for a few years now.
What does that mean?
It essentially means that it would prohibit courts from allowing the use of this junk science, which is at the root of many of these bad custody cases. It's the theory that parents are fabricating abuse allegations when, in fact, there is evidence of abuse. So the courts often deny that they're allowing that and that it's being used in the courts, and yet our evidence shows from many thousands of people calling our organization that parental alienation syndrome is a huge driver behind the family court crisis. So that wouldn't cost the courts anything to put forward a law that says this is not allowed in our state.
We're joined by State Democratic Representative Betsy Hands of Missoula. Betsy, what have you learned today?
I think what I've learned is that across the country, many states are looking at guardian ad litem reform. And it's reassuring to know that we're not the only state that has to look at the systemic problems within the system and think creatively on what are the steps that we can take to make reform happen in Montana.
But reform, as Ms. Russell and I were just talking about, costs money, and you know much better than I, money is in short supply in Montana right now, and we'll find that out come January with the legislature.
Well, I think that the groups that I've been working with, the stakeholders, are very well aware of that, and so we're looking at small steps that just require qualifications, look at training requirements, and have a grievance process that each court system could even hammer out just to make sure that they have a grievance process that allows for litigants to have recourse and remove guardians that aren't fulfilling the best interests of children.
So what next, Ms. Rosen?
Now I just think it's important that the public know about what's happening in the family courts, because I think when the public realizes what's going on, they won't stand for it. It's just like the Catholic Church pedophile scandal. That was something that went on for decades without people having any idea. And then once that story came out, I think the public was rightly outraged. And the scale and the scope of this child abuse crisis in the family courts is equal, if not greater, than the Catholic Church scandal. And it's important the public take notice and become involved and talk to their lawmakers about bringing about change and doing all we can to protect our next generation of leaders.
Speaking with State Representative Betsy Hands and Kathleen Russell, Executive Director of the Center for Judicial Excellence. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
In tonight's weather forecast, it should be mostly...